This is the State of Energy. I'm Randy Witt with Tom Clark, Executive Director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. Basically, if you want to understand the dynamic, Tom is Johnny Carson and I'm Ed McMahon. What do you think? Go with that?
I like it.
I mean, you know, it's a good reference. I mean, if Rick and Morty can reference it, we can. And if that's too old for folks, basically Tom is Jimmy Kimmel and I'm Guillermo.
Oh, boy.
That'll help people understand the dynamic. We're back from the Western Propane Convention and Trade Show in Reno. That was great last week. Met a lot of very cool people. You've got a very cool family, by the way, Tom.
Thank you. Yeah. They're all right.
Very cool
family. They're all right. I can hang out with them for, you know, a few hours.
Yeah, anybody can put on a facade for 48 hours. I understand. I understand.
It was a lot of fun. A lot of great people out there. Not as big as we were hoping for. I mean, but you're seeing this everywhere. Events are starting to pick up, but they're not getting off to a good start with the Delta variant coming at us. So
yeah, it turned into a masquerade ball.
Hopefully, everybody made it home safely and things are good.
My wife wants to know why I've got a tattoo that says 1075.
That's, yeah. I think you can thank my brother for that one, huh?
I'm sorry, I stepped on you. What were you saying?
I was saying that when we're out there, the smoke from all those fires in California, my throat still hurts from breathing all that smoky air. And it just, when I got home, it just got even worse. So, man, it was bad. That one day we didn't even see the mountains. Well, the whole time we didn't see them.
I didn't see the mountain. No, I didn't see them until Friday morning.
Yeah, Friday morning.
I didn't know. Wow, look at that. Right outside my window, there's a beautiful mountain range in Reno. And it is crazy to update folks on what's going on. Thousands of residents remain evacuated due to the Northern California wildfire that nearly doubled in size overnight, fed by wind and dry conditions. The blaze burning in El Dorado County has charred more than 53,000 acres and is 0% contained, according to Cal Fire. The Caldor Fire continued to experience unprecedented fire behavior and growth due to extremely dry fuels pushed by the southwest winds. Governor Gavin Newsom said on Tuesday, declared a state of emergency for El Dorado County due to the fire, which is located about 65 miles east of Sacramento, which is weird because, I mean, well, not weird, but it's just geographically where this fire is, it goes in a straight line through Reno right into Salt Lake, and you had to drive all the way through it.
Well, yeah, and we were out there, you know, hanging out and breathing that all in throughout the week. There's another fire up there, too. There's the Dixie Fire that's also what I think that one's the second largest California fire in history.
Yep.
So there are all these fires going on. Man, you can't seem to think about all the different structures that are being damaged, but the power outages that are going on. And, you know, we always want to try to talk about some energy security and how propane can do that. But I hate taking all this bad news and trying to turn it into a feel-good story about propane, but you got to put yourself in that and just think, man, if the power's out because they're gonna go shut off all the power, the power grid's getting burned down, you got to have a backup plan.
Yeah, I mean,
You got to have some type of backup.
And we've talked about this many times over the past couple of years. Propane, when there's a natural disaster, when there's fires, when the power goes out in Texas for weeks on end, propane rides in like the Lone Ranger, makes things right, helps people out. A great story in LP Gas Magazine talking about propane generators easing the power outage anxieties. It's basic. It's 101. It's fuel 101. Installing a propane generator to produce a reliable supply of standby electricity is fast becoming the new normal. Power outages have become more frequent while lasting for longer duration as the country's antiquated electrical infrastructure continues to deteriorate. And I want to sidebar off this for a second. If we're all going to go electric in like what's, you know, it was 25 years. Now it's like 9 years. It's going to be next month by the time we get to this.
Oh, geez.
If we correlate this with kids, think about you're raising kids and they want to do something. I want an electric vehicle. okay, you can have one, but you've got to fix the power grid first.
Yeah.
Isn't that the way we would raise our kids? And we're not even doing it with common sense when it comes to electric vehicles. Again, we're not anti-electric. We think they're great. Same thing with wind, solar, hydro. I mean, we're just talking about things being balanced and how we're rushing in one direction too quickly.
Well, and that's a good point, because the power grid is old. It's already being maxed out. It's already to its fullest right now. We're having planned power outages. We're having power outages from all these fires. We're having blackouts just from being overused. It's time that you have to start thinking about your own energy security and say, look, what can I do? How can I protect my business, my family, my own house? And getting a propane powered generator right now you better get on a list, because it takes a while to get some of these things. So have that plan, because you can store propane forever. You don't have to use it like if you have put a gasoline power generator or a diesel generator. That gas is going to go bad before you even get to turn the generator on. But a propane one, you can let it sit there forever and have that energy security and clean the air, because we talk about this all the time. Electricity's dirty.
Yes.
And a propane powered generator is going to also clean your environment. So you get like this win-win. You get the energy security and cleaner air.
And it's funny you mentioned that, because a lot of people are becoming more and more aware, thanks to shows like The State of Energy, that electric vehicles aren't all clean. It's not all clean. A lot of coal needs to be used. And there's soaring demand for the world's least light commodity. Coal prices have jumped 106% this year.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So we talked about this a year ago. I think we should do like some Nostradamus episode or something, right? Because we keep predicting all these things that happen. We keep talking about adding all this electrifying everything, but the dirty coal that it takes to produce all this electricity has created this demand, and we predicted that all this energy costs were going to go up. We predicted that electricity was going to go up. We predicted that gasoline was going to go up. And look what happened. It's going crazy. What'd you say, 100% increase in coal?
106% price increase in coal. Yeah, it's the Australian thermal coal at Newcastle Port. The benchmark for the vast Asian market has climbed 106% this year to move to more than $166 per metric ton, $166 per metric ton, according to the latest weekly assessment by commodity price provider Argus.
And what drives that? What drives the coal?
I'm guessing there's China that's getting more. Electric vehicle production and power is causing more.
Yeah, it's all electricity. It's electricity. And we keep talking about, we want to clean up this greenhouse gases, because the greenhouse gases, you see it in the news all the time. There's the world temperature is going to breach this 1.5 degrees Celsius in the next 10 years. Or you can read all sorts of different stories about it, but that's the problem. That's what everybody's worried about, is the greenhouse gas emissions. And if you look at, you can go to just the EPA's website, epa.gov, and you can see where all the greenhouse gases come from. And most of it is in transportation and electricity production. So if you wanted to reduce your greenhouse gas, I mean, you have things you could do, Rand. You can reduce your greenhouse gases. You can get rid of that old diesel bus that you drive around. To the Burning Man, you can get that thing and switch it over to propane, and you can clean up your emissions. You could also get rid of a wood burning fireplace and get put in a clean.
Well, okay, that's the essence of Burning Man. What are you talking about? How can we let that go?
No, Burning Man. Burning Man runs on propane. Did you not know this?
I just know that there's a giant wood structure of a man that catches fire.
Oh, yeah. They do a lot of that. Sometimes they do a lot of wood stuff. But there's a big... They've kind of changed that. And they've gone to a big steel guy. And they burn him with propane. I don't know if you've seen that or not. I've never been there. But maybe we could go next year.
I don't know if I believe that you've never been there. I really don't. You know a little too much about Burning Man, but I'm digging it.
Holy cow.
We'll do a propane bus to Burning Man. We'll get some winners through the State of Energy, and we'll do a bus
tour.
There
you go. I know the guy that puts on the pyrotechnic stuff out there. He was in the propane industry. Anyway, we're way off track here with this. The global greenhouse emissions.
Yes.
Electricity, transportation. So what are we trying to do right now? We're trying to move our transportation to electrification. You still get the same greenhouse gas emissions. It's nuts.
It doesn't make sense. And the crazy part is that we're already having in California they're asking during this unprecedented time if people cannot charge their cars during certain times of the day. We're only at 3%. Electric vehicles only make up 3% of cars, and we're already having this problem. How are we supposed to fix it by 2030 when President Biden wants us to have his, all electric?
Yeah, he did an executive order to have all vehicles sold in the U.S. or 50% of the vehicles sold in the U.S. be electric by 2030. Right. Now, I'm reading stories like this is there's just no way that there's no teeth to this at all. But
no, there's no binding authority. It's just more of a declaration of what he hopes for.
Yeah, they put that out there, and we don't even have the fuel for it. We don't have the electricity for it. So everybody's going to have a propane powered generator just to charge their car. I think that's what we're going to have to do, Rand. We're going to get into the propane powered electric car refueling stations.
You know, that's kind of actually a really great idea.
Well, I think we just came up with something new.
Yes.
This is great.
You know what? And to further on this story, automakers in relationship to President Biden hoping that 50% of all cars and light trucks are going to be electric by 2030. Automakers are saying they could meet a target of somewhere between 40 and 50% of sales, but only if Congress spends billions of dollars to build out a network of EV charging stations and provides tax incentives to customers, among other measures. I mean, each one of these charging stations costs like $100,000.
Yeah, that's nuts, man. There's gas stations that are on the fence. They're like, should we put in a electric charging station, or should we, invest our money in different ways? And you can see how expensive these are. $100,000? That's just for the machine. You still got a space. And how long does it take to charge a car?
True.
I'm just saying that car's sitting there taking up that valuable real estate, because these gas stations, they rely on people coming in and out. Like, they're not set up to be this long-term parking lot to charge your vehicle.
That's a great point. That's a very great point. And one of the stories out of the Wall Street Journal talks about this very topic. Gas stations face tough, costly choice on EV chargers. American gas station owners are facing a tough decision over whether to invest in electric vehicle charging stations, a costly bet that currently makes little financial sense, but might help future-proof their business. Because some gas stations, convenience stores, and truck stops are adding chargers to test the technology and protect their market share for the long run. Others say they crunched the numbers and decided they just can't justify the cost, given that the small share of electric vehicle drivers is only 3%, and charging units and installation typically cost upwards of $100,000 each and might entail the expense of tearing up pavement to lay the conduit as well.
If you owned a gas station and you're sitting there thinking about putting these in, wouldn't you think you'd probably just wait it out a little bit and see how much incentive money is going to be out there for it?
Oh, yeah.
Because all of these vehicles, all of this infrastructure that we're talking about doing electric vehicles with, it seems to dry up as soon as the incentives go away. I think we talked about a story a couple month or so ago about the Georgia electric vehicle incentives. As soon as those ran up, people quit buying the electric vehicles. It's like we're artificially boosting this with all this taxpayer money for the wealthy people that can actually afford an electric vehicle, as soon as that money's gone, there people stop buying it. It's a fact. You see it all the time. When the money's gone, they stop putting in the infrastructure and they stop buying the vehicles. In fact, you can see this just right here in our area. There was a whole bunch of LNG, liquid natural gas stations, put in all over the place with subsidies, government subsidies, and they're all empty because they built all this massive infrastructure and there's no vehicles to go with it. Or once the tax money dried up or the incentive money dried up, there's no gas in these stations. They don't even use it anymore. You can't even buy it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think there's another lesson going on in the world, something about, America building something up and then all of a sudden removing itself and then it all collapses. There's some.
You were going to go there, huh?
I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to let people know. You're listening to The State of Energy. That is Tom Clark, Executive Director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association. My name is Rand DeWitt. You can find out more about what propane can do for you by going to thestateofenergy.com. Great information on what propane can do for you. Also, you can find a propane job, find out where to get propane near you. What else can they find, Tom?
Oh, man, you can listen to all of our episodes. You can click the links on all the stuff we talked about during our shows. You want to learn more about it? Like, we don't make this stuff up. These are all headline stuff that's good information. You can find it right there on our site. We also incentives to switch out a wood burning stove or a wood burning heater, furnace, whatever you're using. Electric water heaters that are super inefficient. We have rebates for those to make sure that they were installed safely, and we're giving out $200 per switch out. So if you switch one of those out, we'll help you pay for that with a $200 rebate. So go to the State of Energy and learn more about that.
Because you know what, Tom? Propane, it's energy for everyone.
It really is. It really, and you think about the energy for everyone theme. It's just, it's affordable. It's here right now. The infrastructure's here. We don't need to spend billions and billions of dollars on propane charging stations. We already have them, and they were paid for with private money. So this is a clean fuel future that's already here. And propane is energy for everyone.
It's energy equality.
Yeah. I mean, look what goes on when you start throwing out all this tax money. The electric vehicle, I know we hammer this electric vehicle thing a lot, but they're always in the news. I mean, look at that big truck manufacturer, Nikola. They were just in the news with securities fraud because of a fake electric truck. And the guy got
Madoff part two.
He finally got charged with it. But
right.
It's crazy how much money drives people to do crazy things.
Yeah, well, and what Tom is referencing, it's a story out of The Verge. Nikola founder charged with securities fraud over allegedly fake truck demo. In the Southern District of New York federal court on Thursday, Nikola founder Trevor Milton was charged with securities fraud. The charges allege that Milton made a series of materially false claims which portrayed the electric vehicle company Nikola as far closer to releasing a functional product than it actually was, and raising more than $500 million in investments in the process.
Did you hear what he did, though? They towed this truck up to the top of a hill, and then they let it coast down, and it looks like a cool truck. And then they set the camera so that as it was coming down, the camera angle made it look like it was just traveling on a flat or even an inclined. So it looks like this thing's actually moving, and all it was doing was coasting.
You got to respect the creative on that. On one level, on a certain level, you have to respect the creative. That is crazy. I didn't realize that was how they did that. That is so funny.
Yeah, I think the guy was from Utah too. It's just, man, there's a lot of strange things going on out there, and there's only so much stuff that you can have control over. And if you want to really try to clean up the emissions, because that's really what the ultimate goal here is, to try to clean up the greenhouse emissions. Propane can do that. We know it can do that. And you have lots of different things in your house or your business, or your farm that can do that right now today if you just switched them over to propane.
It's very true. And you look what's going on right now with gas prices.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, what I saw in Reno versus what's happening in Utah and in California. Right now, the average price for a gallon of gas is nationwide is $3.18. Here in California, that'd be a deal. We're close to five here. It's insane. But all this is going on. Story off of CNBC, the White House calls on OPEC to boost oil production as gasoline prices rise. This is happening amid concerns that the rising inflation could derail the economic recovery from COVID. The Biden administration officials spoke with representatives from OPEC's de facto leader, Saudi Arabia, this week, as well as representatives from the United Arab Emirates and other OPEC members. The White House said the group's July agreement to boost production by 400,000 barrels per day on a monthly basis, beginning in August and stretching into 2022, is simply not enough. This is a critical moment in the global recovery, and these gas prices are not happening.
A little over a year ago, oil was free, basically. It was trading in the negative. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, I remember that.
We did a
they were almost paying people to take the oil away.
Because everything was shut down, right? And we called this, like, okay, you're going to go around and shut all the rigs down, shut all the oil production. You had to. There was no place to put it. But now that everything's kicking back off and we're traveling around, now it's time, we need to get this fuel. And with the new administration, basically, you know, they shut down a lot of fracking. They didn't allow us to get back going again. There's a shortage, or there's obviously there might not be a actual physical shortage, but the supply and demand has tipped, and now they're even saying they're gonna go after people for price gouging.
Yes.
So there's an there's some FTC action that the Federal Trade Commission is gonna monitor the U.S. gasoline market to make sure that nobody is charging more than they should. There's no price gouging going on.
Yeah, I mean, that would happen. I think I saw it in Florida a lot when the storms are coming in and people are trying to get out of town, and suddenly gas is $10 a gallon. I was like, what?
Just think of all the things you can do to protect yourself and your business or your farm or your own house. If you had things that ran on gasoline and you're worried about this, you can switch all this stuff to propane. You can have all your things run on propane. You can have it stored locally right there at your place, and you don't have to worry about this problem with the gasoline market.
And the technology that we saw when we were at the convention in Reno, with these new tanks that allow people to versus what they use. They're only charged for what they use, not having to fill up the giant tank every 2 months or whatever.
There's a lot of cool technology out there that propane is also advancing too. We talk about this all the time. Not just the technology of the high efficiency of all the things that are being run on propane, but also the actual emissions that propane produces. We talked about renewable propane and how you can actually get a negative carbon footprint by using renewable propane, which is a little bit different than renewable natural gas. And sometimes we see bad things about propane in the news when it's actually not even propane. It was some other fuel like natural gas. And I think right down there in your neck of the woods, there was an accident that happened with and it was blamed on propane. Well, propane wasn't even involved with it, but it was one of these garbage trucks that they actually make renewable natural gas with the garbage. It caught on fire and exploded. The tanks exploded, but it was natural gas. It wasn't even propane.
Yeah, it was a story out of the LA Times in Temecula. 13 people injured, including 12 firefighters, in a propane explosion. That was the title in the LA Times.
That's such bad reporting. It wasn't propane.
They'll wind up issuing a correction on page 98 in a font size of 2.
You know, they probably already did. We just missed it. But yeah, I mean, you see some bad press, and sometimes you got to look deeper into it and say, this isn't true. So anyway, that's there's a lot of information out there. It's a scary time right now. Energy security has got to be top of your list today. So get with your propane provider, find some ways to secure your own future and save some emissions at the same time.
That man is Tom Clark, executive director with Rocky Mountain Propane Association, and the only man I've ever seen double down on a 19 and win. It was amazing. Tom Clark.
That never happened.
I'm Randy Witt, and we are always online at thestateofenergy.com.